This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Victorian men who have sex with men, or MSM, and people who use intravenous drugs are being urged to get a free hepatitis A vaccination following a death last week in Victoria, where more people have become infected over the last 2 months. There have been 42 confirmed cases of hepatitis A linked to this outbreak. There's one further probable case and an additional 22 under early investigation. All cases are male, many MSM who have not travelled overseas, and an increasing number are in people who inject drugs. Hepatitis A is spread from through person-to-person transmission, including via sexual activity, and is not limited to MSM. Transmission can also occur whilst sharing injecting equipment such as needles and through the consumption of contaminated food and water. Dean Arcuri spoke to Victoria's Deputy Chief Health Officer, Dr. Brett Sutton, about why we're reminding the community about free vaccinations just weeks after the vaccine was offered and what this outbreak actually means.
We had a call out, especially in relation to Victoria, for men who have sex with men being able to get a Hep A vaccination just a few weeks ago. What's prompted this further warning now?
We've been tragically notified of a death in someone from hepatitis A. Obviously, hepatitis A can be a serious illness. Normally, it's not very severe, but it can lead to hospitalisation. It can lead to an urgent need for a liver transplant, and it can lead to death, especially in someone who's got liver damage or some pre-existing illness that makes them particularly vulnerable. So we obviously want to protect everyone in this outbreak, but it's a lesson that if you've got a particular vulnerability, it can be a very dangerous illness indeed. So we really want to prompt everyone who's eligible to get the vaccine so that they can protect themselves and don't have to worry about such tragic circumstances.
So who actually is eligible?
So all men who have sex with men and anyone who has injected drugs in the previous 12 months, male or female.
So is there any specific reason why that's the field that is being looked at?
Well, the outbreak we've had has largely involved these two main risk groups. Men who have sex with men have been a risk group in Southern Europe, and a lot of cases have been linked to travel there, but there's now local transmission amongst gay and bisexual men. And so we think that they're going to be an ongoing risk group and require protection to get on top of the outbreak. The same for people who inject drugs, not quite in the same numbers, but certainly a significant additional risk compared to those who don't inject drugs or who aren't gay and bisexual men. So we know that they'll need a vaccine as well to help ensure protection for themselves, but also to stop, you know, this ongoing outbreak in Victoria.
So if you have hepatitis A, what is it you need to look out for, or if you may have contracted it?
Certainly the first symptoms can be quite non-specific, nausea and tummy pain or diarrhoea, but it's followed by fever and jaundice, which is yellowing of the skin and eyes, and dark urine. And that jaundice is the really cardinal sign, the thing that should prompt you to see a GP. But if you're not immunised and you've got those early symptoms, you can also be tested and your GP can do a PCR test to potentially diagnose you even before that jaundice has happened. So if the suspicion's there and you can prompt your GP to think about hepatitis A by saying, look, I'm not immunised, I might be at risk, then that's a useful thing to do as well.
Now, this is something that's available Victoria-wide, isn't it?
That's right. There are two vaccines that we'd like everyone at risk to receive. They need to be taken with a six-month interval between them, at least 6 months. But that first vaccine is the most important one. That'll be the one that starts to protect you within a couple of weeks and provides several months of protection. The second dose, although very useful, is for lifetime protection. But that first dose is the critical one that'll start protection now.
Within our communities, we're often hearing about things like Hep A, Hep B, et cetera, et cetera. But this is actually something that isn't necessarily passed sexually, is it?
No, not necessarily. microscopic bits of feces where it's carried, but that can mean close household contact, that can mean sexual contact, it can also mean food preparation or water contamination. So there are lots of mechanisms by which it could be transmitted, but, you know, the answer in all respects is still the same. The vaccine will provide protection, but the other things to note is that if you are confirmed, then you shouldn't be having sex, you shouldn't be preparing food for others, and you should be really fastidious about washing hands, etc. If you're unvaccinated and you haven't got symptoms, you should still take all of those precautions with hygiene and food preparation as, you know, just sensible things to follow, including changing condoms between sexual partners.
Is this something we also need to let doctors know about? How are they informed that this vaccine's there and they need to look for it with their patients?
I provided a Chief Health Officer advisory recently to alert GPs to the outbreak and to inform them of the way by which they can get the vaccine into their practices. But it's absolutely useful for the community also to prompt GPs to say, look, I'm planning on coming in for a vaccine. Can you please make sure that it's available for me? Travel vaccine clinics have it by default, but GPs won't necessarily have it in stock and they may not have received the advisory from me. So it's a useful prompt to the clinic nurse or the clinic manager to say, you know, can you please let me know if Hep A vaccine's in stock? And if it is, then you can make your appointment.
Now, while we're also obviously letting people know the vaccination is something that's important, and if they feel they're at risk or even available to be able to have it, they should go and get it. This is also about letting people know that if they have the symptoms, early treatment is the best result, isn't it?
That's right. There's only supportive management. There's no specific medication that can treat it. But that diagnosis is important, both to let you know about what you can and can't do and making sure that you're not having sex and preparing food for others. But some people do need hospitalisation, so you may need to be looked after in hospital if you've got significant illness with it. They keep an eye on your liver enzymes and make sure that it's tracking okay and that you're improving before you're sent home again.
When we hear about a death prompting further warning, or when we hear about concerns of a Hep A outbreak, people often go to extremes about what they think that means. How concerned should we be within Victoria about this?
Certainly you don't need to be, you know, need to have undue concern. It's about being aware that there's very easy prevention available through a vaccine. The illness can be severe, but it's mostly a relatively mild illness, but no one would really want it. So, you know, preventing it is absolutely key, but it's not something that's going to be, you know, causing large numbers of deaths or, you know, huge numbers of people being hospitalised. But it's absolutely worthwhile getting the vaccine to, you know, avoid what can be a nasty illness.
That was DNR Curie speaking to Victoria's Deputy Chief Health Officer, Dr. Brett Sutton. We urge everyone to remember that immunisation is safe, effective and saves lives. Protect yourself and your wider community. If you're at risk or have access to the free vaccination, see your GP and get one today.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.